Welcome to the Magic Potion Podcast, where a sprinkle and a dash can enhance your class. Listen to learn about tools, techniques, and stories from educators on ways to improve your lessons, create a positive culture, and much more. I'm your host, Kevin Reinemann, and now it's time to make it happen.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Magic Potion EDU Podcast. I am excited to be here at the Future of Education Technology conference in Miami, Florida. I left Ohio at 40 degrees to now coming down here to currently 79. I'm not disappointed in that. But I have Kevin here with me. Can you tell the audience who you are and a little bit about your background?
What's up, Magic Potion EDU? This is Kevin Chaya. I actually created the Moment AR app. It's an app that works on the Merge Cube by Merge VR, and most of you maybe have not heard of it. It's a small little cube with weird little symbols on it that you can put in your phone on it, and an app will come to life. And I wrote the app Moment AR that is an app for autism, mental health, language, and social skills. I co-wrote with my wife, who's a school psychologist for Burbank. And I'm here actually doing, I did a workshop this morning for app design and for beginners. So yeah, that's kind of like the main thing that got me in education is the Moment AR app, which is doing really, really well.
Now, how long has your wife been in education as well?
Oh, she's been in since, we're at FETC, everyone, the yes. Crowds all around us, but it's great. Yeah, so she's been on it since, I think, since high school. She was working on after-school programs for special education and everything, so she's been a school psychologist for minimum 10 years now for Burbank okay. Unified.
So you've been knowing what goes on behind the scenes without being actually in education.
Exactly. Well, the funny thing I tell people is that I tell people, like, I always listen to stories and hear things from her, which I, you know, you listen, you be a good husband, whatever. But when I met the Merge guys and I got the Merge Cube and she said, hey, I need help with assessments, I kind of really started listening to what she wanted to need. I did what a good husband should do, which is listen to your wife. And I kind of said, hey, I might be able to build you something. So I literally built the app for her for a specific need that she needed.
Nice.
And from that need, I'll just tell you that story real quick. I kind of built it over the weekend, a quick little prototype. I'm like, hey, what do you need? She goes, I need to help with the assessment of the kids. I want them to express emotion. So I'm like, oh, how about I put an emotion on each side, kind of like the inside out thing. And then we did a six side, and I'm like, what emotion are you missing? She goes, boredom. And I'm like, okay, I added boredom in there. And then the Monday of, I put it on her phone, she used it, and we started using it already with assessing kids right away.
That is nuts. Now, what are you using to do your design work with?
Design work, so, which is funny, Moment AR is also my first real design app. My previous okay. history is more post-production, so I worked more on scripting, command line coding, which has no real user interface. So with this one, I literally do it from scratch. It was the first time I downloaded Unity. And what's great about Unity, there's a ton of tutorials that you can find on like YouTube and on the Unity site as well. So I literally just sat down and from a Saturday and Sunday just learned how to code in
Unity.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah. But what was great was like it was really easy to use. Some people are just like, am I just gonna sit there and write a whole bunch of code? I'm like, no, everything's kind of like visual based now. It's a lot easier to develop than you know of. And it's just even getting easier, which I think is great for educators themselves. But yeah, I pretty much use Unity and I started building stuff like a deck sheet up in Google Docs. That's it. That's all the tools I use.
So you do your planning, so to say, on like a slide deck.
Totally.
And just kind of map it out that way and then go from there.
Correct. What I did in the professional term is I did a statement of work to myself pretty much of like, okay. I am going to build this. And so I kind of built it out. So after she got some really good baseline, some really good results, she showed it to her board or psychology board. They kind of gave their ideas and they're like, when's this app coming out? And I kind of took this hint. I'm lining to build that. So then I technically just laid everything out and built the whole app. Now, there's a lot of stuff I can do, but there's stuff I can't do, which is I can't do character creation, character rigging, animators, like you buy animators. So I had to subcontract them out. But because I've kind of had everything built, whichever, like the app was released, I think, 6 months after conception. So
that seems like quite a quick turnaround.
Pretty fast, especially correlating with the Merge Cube, who was releasing it on the end of that year as well. So it was pretty unique, and you learn things really, really, really fast. So
now your session this morning was about app building for beginners, right?
That's correct, yeah. So my good friend Nancy Blair Black, I met her at FETC of last year. Probably on the show when I had like the top hat. So most of you probably heard me. Last year was like top hat guy was like my big thing.
It was
top
a giant,
hat this year though.
It was a giant.
It was a giant merge cube hat. Yeah, but yeah, she said, you know what, Kevin? Like, I want to do a session on app design. I think it'd be great to you to have it because you have like all the real world experience. Whatever yeah. we can do it. So yeah, we did one this morning, and we actually used App Inventor, which you can not only build an app, and it's all block coding, whatever. But what I loved about it is it showed you the build process all the way to pretty much uploading to the Google Play Store. So literally, you can build an app on there, exported to the Google Play Store, and actually put a live app in the App Store itself.
And the app builder, isn't that MIT?
Like, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's totally.
Inventor.
And that's completely free and whatnot. And, you know, there's a couple of high school teachers in there like, oh, this is going to be too cartoony. And I told them, I'm like, well, kind of like going back to the Unity thing, Unity has now by Bolt and a couple other side developers of just doing this visual-based app development. Why? Because there's so many people like indie devs or like asset makers that don't know how to code and whatnot, and mm-hmm. it gives them the ability to build their own game or previs or whatnot.
Yeah.
So a lot of, you know, game engines and other people are going to this visual based coding because it opens up the field to everyone else that wants to develop that doesn't have the skills or money to do so. So I think it's fantastic, and I think that correlates with education because that same power is in your hands. Like App Inventor, it's completely and free, and guess what? You can build a full app right now and upload it to the store and be completely free. You do it off your own power.
And it's one of those things where giving students the power to do it, because teachers don't know everything.
Correct.
This is a whole new world for them. They're mm-hmm. not comfortable with it. So mm-hmm. the visual side of things just makes it easier for students to get into it and start building.
Exactly. And the one thing I mentioned too, which is like, you know, we said in our session this morning, was that you know, a lot of teachers are like, well, I don't want to test all that coding or whatnot. And I'm just like, no, like, you don't have to code. There's literally tutorials and galleries of all these other teachers and comps and people that develop and put stuff. You can literally load one up and be like, hey, here's a nice little game. Like, I created a little game where you fling cheeseburgers at my face. Because a session is not a session unless you can build an app that flings cheeseburgers at your presenter's face. But I said, yeah, you can take this app, do it, and then expand on it. Make a game, gamify it. Maybe color code it. Improve the app design. Sky's the limit. Get, yes. If anything, put the creative control back in the students. Mm-hmm. Let them do it. So those kids are going to be like, this is too cartoony. I'm pretty sure when they're competing with their friends of who can build a better app out of it, now we're starting to get into real core gamification, but you're really accessing their creative side. And yes. that's what we're really trying to bring out, is just like all the power is not only in their hands, but with that power comes all these sub-elements that make it perfect.
And then now they, since they have that little bit of, you know, setting the hook with it being game-based, they have their interest up. Now they can go and find a real-world problem, like you saw with your wife, mm-hmm. and turn around and apply what they've learned.
Excellent. Yeah, that's an excellent
to build
statement.
That app.
And that's what we did in the division, in the workshop this morning as well. We built a text-to-speech app. Like, that is a practical app, and we built mm-hmm. that right there, and I think, like, in 8 different slides.
Wow.
And you could do that right there, just off drag and drop in a couple lines of code.
Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be in that session because I was presenting at the exact same time, mm-hmm. which was bright and early here at 8 a.m.
Yeah, oh. it was really early. I was at the 8 a.m. thing, too. It was really early. Coffee helps.
Coffee helps, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you what, it's tough to find it around here. It's weird. My hotel didn't even have coffee. None in my room, none. Breakfast didn't open until 7:30 there, and I'm out the door by 6:45. So
like,
yes,
why is
it was
he awake?
It was a struggle this morning.
Yeah,
but it's all good.
But
so,
yeah, that same workshop that we did this morning, we're doing the same thing at ISTE. So that should
nice.
Be that'd be really cool. So
cool. Congratulations on getting in on that.
Oh, that's, thank you.
That's a tough one to get into. Now, how many times have you been to FETC now?
This is now my second one.
Second. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were last year with the big hat.
Because that was my first FETC, which is awesome. I actually considered it, I would call it the CES of education.
Okay.
CES, I think, is like a week beforehand, and CES, for everyone that doesn't know, it's a consumer electronic expo at usually in Las Vegas. But FETC, I feel like the same way. It's like the first year that you're really on a big expo show to really show off your stuff if you're a vendor. So I think it's pretty cool.
It's they say there's 10,000 people in attendance here. Every single state is represented, as well as 65 countries, I mm-hmm. believe, with the attendees. And my second session this morning, we went around and looked. I had people from, you know, me being from Ohio, had some people from Michigan, Florida, obviously. I even had somebody from Hawaii.
Another
one that said he was from Taiwan. So,
oh, very cool.
And a Canada. We did have a Canada as well. So we had quite the diversity, and my crowd was, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 people. So I was really impressed with that. As you know, I go around to the shows around Ohio regularly, and it's a lot of the same people presenting. So coming to a conference like this, you're getting a lot of input from places you wouldn't necessarily hear from.
Yeah, and that's the great part. You're getting hearing from not only different places, but different countries as well. So you're getting input from like education do's and don'ts, or what's new and what's not new and other stuff like that, and how you guys are doing things, but from completely different areas. Like you and I just talked right before this, how like, you know, you're from Ohio and I'm from Los Angeles. So I'm giving you my point of view of what we're doing over there to you. So yeah, it's a really good like, you know, honeypot, and really just like kind of talking about.
Yeah. So if somebody's coming to something like FETC or ISTE for the first time, what's your recommendation for them? Because it's easy to get overwhelmed when you come to something like this.
The first start, I think we touched on it a couple minutes ago, coffee. Coffee is going to be your best friend. It's going to help you because I'm a big fan of eating thing, but you don't have all this time to go out there and sit in a restaurant, whichever. So kind of plan ahead. I would advise to go on Twitter. Look up some of the hashtag educations. There's a lot of influencers. Jump on their sessions. It's great, but always definitely check out the expo hall, because which will give you a lot of pamphlets, a lot of info, and a lot of the new tech, and a lot of those people that are going to be in sessions on there are probably going to be in the expo hall as well, doing those same demos from the session. So the expo hall is your central place, but do try to get into workshops and sessions and check people out. But the expo hall, and but that goes to another thing of saying that the expo hall is pretty cumbersome there. I mean, there's like, I know there's at least 100 plus vendors, so it's really hard to tackle all of them.
Yeah, I haven't, well, it hasn't opened up here yet for this year, but going back to last year's FETC, that was probably 3 or 4 football fields worth of floor space.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Gigantic.
It's pretty big, especially if you sit and talk to everyone, especially like, you know, a good 5 to 10 minutes of talking, I'm like, there's no way you're going to hit all of them. So you have to do some after homework as well.
Yeah, so along those same lines, there's an app for FETC. And pretty much every conference I go to that's on a large scale seems to have an app. And that leads me to where I need to go.
Totally.
Between that and Twitter.
Yeah, so that and Twitter, yeah.
Download totally. It ahead of time. Check out the sessions. You know, make sure you hit the little star to mark it on your itinerary that you can go back and visit. A lot of times they have that for the vendor space too, so you can know who you need to go talk to there as well.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of like you're doing like your Christmas shopping, right? It's kind of like you're doing Christmas shopping the day before. You have to buy your grandma, your aunt, your cousin, your brother, significant other, kids, and everything like that. I think everyone I know goes with a plan. Like, I'm going to hit Target and this and that, and we'll go from there. Keep that same mentality here. Like, pretend you're shopping on Christmas Eve and you're shopping for an entire family. Like, you're going to have a plan of attack of how you're going to attack all these stores. That's how you're going to attack the like a big conference like FETC.
Yeah, and as we were talking a little bit earlier, don't be afraid to say hi to somebody, too. Mm. Like, I was on the phone with my wife, caught her while she was on her lunch break. I'm walking down the hall. I saw Kevin walk in the other direction, and I'm thinking to myself, is that who I think that was? So I just sent a quick tweet, and yeah, turned out it was the buff guy in the VR podcast shirt.
I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm wearing a bright blue shirt, and I'm like, hey, did you see a guy in a bright blue shirt with buff arms? And he goes, yep, that's you. I'm like, message him. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He said, and talked a little bit, and he said, hey, man, you want to do a podcast? And here I am. So that's a very good point. Like, this is a great place to network. Like, not only going to talk to other educators, but you'll meet a lot of people that share the similar interests, and who knows? You might want that. Might want to get on your podcast. So it's really, really cool.
And comfy shoes.
Oh my
that
gosh, comfy
is
shoes.
What I am disappointed in today. Yeah. I did not wear comfy shoes, and I cannot believe how big this place is. Yeah. We're putting in a lot of steps. Here it is, 226. I already have my 10,000 steps for the day.
You guys can't see here, but I called the airport because literally I think it might be a whole mile walking all the way around. I should take my step calculator and walk all the way around.
I might do that.
It could be a half to a mile in between there, definitely.
While I stop and get an empanada. Can't forget that part.
Well, walk around it and eat an empanada. You'll do double duty. You'll be taking it in and burning it at the same time.
Oh, man. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Best way, you can see me on Twitter. I'm EL_Chakka, CHAKKA, and my pinned tweet is actually a full demo of Moment, so you'll be able to see a demo on there. But go ahead and tweet. I usually, all my education stuff is on my Twitter post, and I usually post a lot of my proof of concept stuff and what I do for feedback, so I'm really engaging with all users, so.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on. And audience, as always, go out there and make it happen.
Thank you for listening to the Magic Potion Podcast. This podcast was created using Anchor FM. Please subscribe and leave comments with your thoughts and ideas from the classroom. Until next time, get out there and make it happen.